Oh, how good it is to see you here today. How good it is to be with you here today. This first worship service of 2019 for us, this is Epiphany, and we're going to talk about that. It's a great day to follow the theme of pursuit. But we have a couple of bookkeeping matters, a couple of things we just have to take care of first. That is, we're going to be starting a new series next week called Explore God. Maybe you've seen our signs. There's signs all around the greater Chicagoland area because some 500 churches are going to engage in this. So we're going to engage in it in worship. We want to take those relevant questions, those questions that maybe you have or maybe a friend of yours has that maybe that you don't know how to answer in response. You want to bring God's truth to them. And Explore God is not going to be only a great worship opportunity for us as we begin the new year, but also there are going to be small groups. So if you want to be part of a small group, there are in your pocket pads behind on each seat, there's blue cards you can use to say, hey, yeah, I'd like to be part of a small group for Explore God. Maybe you want to lead a group, that's okay too. Or maybe you have some other friends that you want to be part of a group. Just indicate that to us so that we can put these small groups together, work with you to get you the materials and all of that. It's going to be a great opportunity. There are also, in your pocket pads, there's places for you to sign up for some other things. There's prayer cards there. We commend those to you. There's also some pink cards, and you can use those to, if you're new here to Good Shepherd, put that information down. We'd love to get to meet you and know you. You can also take those to the Connect Center, and if you do that, they'll give you a beverage from the Cornerstone Cafe. So great, great reward for any risk you might feel in that. Good thing to do. We want to be connected. A couple other bookkeeping matters I want to take care of real quickly. If you're among those who have kind of lost track of what day it is, I mean, during this holiday time, haven't we run into a string of Sundays when the holidays come in the middle of the week? And so if you're kind of grappling for what day it is, Sunday, and it is the day you've been anticipating as the Big Bears game, so the day has come and you're in church, you're the right place, that's awesome. And another thing I need to let you know about, it is absolutely not true at all, that I've been crying since last Sunday. As my beloved Bears went down in dreadful defeat, my Vikings went down in defeat to the Bears. I had trouble saying that word, actually. But congratulations to you. You earned it. You deserved it. Way to go. I still can't say the word, but that's awesome. Good for you. Enjoy your day this Sunday. I hope it's a great day for you. And the third thing is, for those of you to whom I gave books for Christmas this year, they're due back at the library on Friday, so if you can take care of that for me, I'd really appreciate it a whole lot. On to this pursuit theme. What does it mean as we worship here to be following a theme of pursuit? For we have, do we not, have a God who has pursued us from the very beginning of our lives? In fact, has not God pursued us from the very beginning of all time? A great and loving Almighty God who cherishes each and every one of us. In fact, the Word of God, the Bible, proclaims that this God pursues us to the degree that He will never leave us, never forsake us. God is always there. And He proves that, He demonstrates that, He portrays that when He sent His one and only Son to pursue us. His Son to live, to die, to rise again, to defeat sin, death, and the power of the devil, so that we might live eternally. Such is the nature of God's pursuit of us. So what does that mean for our lives, that we have a God who desires to pursue us? What does that mean, and how might we live our lives in light of that, if that is the truth? How do we live our lives if we have a God who is continuing to pursue us? I think that's a good reflective question with which to begin 2019. You know, this is that time of year when people have made some New Year's resolutions, right? Isn't this that time of year? Now, we're 6 days in, so I don't know how many of you are still keeping your resolutions, But I read a great article by John Blumberg some years ago about New Year's resolutions. He said, you know, New Year's resolutions are good. They really are. In fact, statistics will show us, he says in his article, that anyone who makes a New Year's resolution is 10 times more likely to achieve those goals. 10 times. That's not insignificant. That's incredible. But he went on to say in the article that his New Year's resolution that year was to never make another New Year's resolution ever again. And he said the reason is this. He found that most of the New Year's resolutions he had made were really a band-aid approach to a bigger problem. They were just a band-aid on maybe a bad habit or something that maybe we shouldn't be doing anyway, or, you know, they weren't really life-transforming. So he went on to say a better way of approaching this whole New Year's resolution concept, at least in his mind, was to think about what are your values? In fact, take it deeper. What are your core values? What is that of most significance and deepest meaning to you? And then to sit back and reflect and think, what would be the things, whether you call it a resolution or not, but what would be the steps that you might take that would address those core values in a deeper way? That would go just beyond, it would go beyond just a band-aid approach and really be something life-transforming. He said, you know, if we take a look at our core values and see if the changes that we might be willing to make are in sync with our core values, it may lead to a lifestyle change. He said that's the kind of, although he didn't use the word resolution, that's the kind of way he wanted to approach the new year. I'd like to take up his thinking and use a little bit different terminology. I'd like to think of it this way. I'd like to take that concept and have you think about it as your compelling story. In other words, what I want you to do is think back on 2018 and think about what was your compelling story in 2018. Was there something of major significance that happened, or a major goal achieved, or was there something that was really life transforming for you? What was that 2018 compelling story? You know, this time of year, we've been getting Christmas cards, right? We did these past several weeks, this past month. And I love those Christmas cards. I love them because I love seeing the pictures. I love seeing how much everybody else has changed. I love reading the letters. And in those, if you read deep enough or if you take a look at the pictures, you can detect some compelling stories. Oftentimes, the pictures or the letters or the notes will give a hint or allude to a compelling story, something that was significant in that family's or that person's life during the past year. What was your 2018 compelling story? And how might that influence your 2019 compelling story? I'd like you to watch a video together with me right now. And as we watch this video together, I want you to think about how compelling stories came together and made a difference.
Hi, Gil. Happy New Year. We received a special tip that led us to Lafayette, in the heart of Cajun country. This is a story about the circle of life and how joy and grief can bring us together.
Almost a year ago, this little baby entered the world in Lafayette, Louisiana. His parents, Connie DeSpani and Benjamin Hall, named him Kingston, but they didn't have a middle name until right after he was born. The name they decided on came from a letter that they got in the hospital. A surveillance camera at Lafayette General Medical Center had captured a stranger asking for directions so she could deliver that letter. But who was she?
To my dad's angel, even though I will never know your name, you are the first child born here after my dad's passing. When one life is taken, another is given. Please keep my dad in your prayers.
His name is James. Thank you.
That was the stranger, Jamie Fontenot. Shortly after her father, 86-year-old James Lee Grimmett, a veteran, died in the hospital in Lafayette, Jamie heard sweet music.
It's a lullaby that plays throughout the hospital,
Families of newborns come here and they press that button in the labor and delivery ward, playing the lullaby, letting everybody know a newborn just arrived. On January 12, 2018, Kingston Hall was born, shortly after Mr. Grimmett died. The timing seemed more than coincidental to Jamie.
Somebody said, well, then that's Dad's angel.
So with no escort, you just took your letter and...
I just took my letter and I went to the OB unit. I said, my dad passed away about 10:40. So give this to the first baby that was born after that time.
On duty that day was Dr. Jennifer Pugliese and Sydney Begno, a registered nurse. They received Jamie's letter, and Dr. Pugliese brought it to Connie.
She opened the letter, and she started reading it silently, and she just had tears streaming down her face, and it was really beautiful.
I came in, and the dad says, oh, we found our middle name, and I'm like, oh, great, what is it? And he says, well, it's James, of course. And I'm like, oh, yes, of course.
My nurse followed me to that side, and she was like, well, do you mind if we get your information and give it to Miss Jamie?
She didn't mind at all. We asked her if she remembered who that nurse was.
I know her name was, I think, Miss Cindy.
Sydney?
Sydney, yes. I think it was Sydney, Miss Sydney.
So that's my mom.
Really? What a coincidence. That's awesome.
Thank you, Mom.
Yes, it was my mom who helped to deliver Kingston and then told me a story of how a stranger wrote a letter to Connie, who then decided that the best middle name for Kingston would be James, in honor of Mr. Grimmett.
I'm so happy you came.
I'm happy to meet you. I didn't think I was gonna meet you.
I didn't think I'd ever see you either.
I'm just gonna meet you in the angel.
The best part for Jamie was holding little Kingston James.
What are we to take away from a story like this?
Family is everything, and if you don't have faith, you don't have anything.
You just never know when a blessing is gonna come and fall in your lap.
So y'all will stay in touch?
Oh, yes. Of course.
We all wanna clap, so we're just gonna clap.
What an incredible 2018 compelling story. What was your 2018 compelling story? We worshiped together on this first worship weekend in 2019 on Epiphany Sunday. It leads us in this day, on this day, when we celebrate the Epiphany, to God's compelling story for us. We worship today under the star. You see, Epiphany is a word which means revelation, manifestation of the divine to the Gentiles. On Epiphany, 12 days after Christmas, we celebrate the arrival of the wise men in Bethlehem. Those who had followed the star, those who had followed the light, were led to the light of the world. It's an incredible thing to be worshiping on Epiphany Sunday, to worship the light of the world in the darkness that surrounds us. It's an incredible story that I want to share with you again. Maybe you've heard it from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And as you listen to this story about the three wise men, listen to it not just as a post-Christmas story. Listen to it for all of the danger and intrigue and deceit that is also contained, and how it is that God brings light into the darkness of that world and ours. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went on ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened up their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Do you know why they were warned in the dream? Do you know why the scripture tells us that word of warning? Because Herod's heart was full of deceit. Herod, in this story, the Bible tells us in that last verse, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Why? Herod, it tells us in the next verses, was so upset that he did a really awful thing. And to know what awful thing he did, you need to know his nature and his character. He was kind of a wicked ruler. More than kind of, he was a wicked ruler. He had even killed people from his own family when he thought they might be a threat to his throne. Anybody who hinted at taking his power away was disposed of. And so when Herod learned of this prophecy, when Herod had the Magi come to him looking for this new ruler, he sent his soldiers to Bethlehem. When he discovered that the Magi had returned home another way, he had all the babies, 2 years and younger, killed in Bethlehem. But God protected Jesus by sending Mary and Joseph and little baby Jesus down to Egypt ahead of those soldiers. In the midst of the darkness of that world, God provided so that the light would come and the people would know. Such is the nature of God's pursuit of us. Such is the nature of God's compelling story, his desire to do whatever it takes to shine light in the darkness of our world. So today on this 2019 worship weekend, the first one of the year, what is your 2019 compelling story? What's it going to look like? I am so excited. I'm so thankful, really, by the 2018 compelling stories that are part of our Good Shepherd story. Like Gifts from the Heart, for example. What an incredible 2018 incredible compelling story. When you take things like the angel tree and you think about the incredible generosity of the Good Shepherd family who provided for every one of those children, each and every one for whom there was an angel on the tree, and each and every child received a present, each and every one of those child has a parent or parents who are incarcerated in jail, and yet they experience light in their darkness because those from Good Shepherd understood better God's pursuit of them and reached out in pursuing sharing God's love with others. When I think about God's compelling story and gifts from the heart, I'm so excited for each and every one of you who took an ornament from the Feed My Starving Children tree and made your contribution, because all of those dollars went to provide meals for starving children, not just hungry children, starving children. Children that won't live until next Christmas without those gifts and those meals. And with every meal delivered in 70-plus countries around the world, many to very dangerous spots, ruled like rulers like King Herod, every one of those meals is delivered with the love of Jesus Christ. And stories upon stories have been told to us of lives transformed by your generosity. Once again, in 2019, you at Good Shepherd are going to have a chance to respond to that incredible event over at North Central College, Feed the Need. In 2018, a part of your compelling story is that some almost 1,200 Good Shepherd members joined the 5,000 from the Naperville community to go and pack over 1 million meals because of your generosity. And because of God's continued pursuit to shine light in the darkness, the goal for 2019 is 1.3 million meals. It's been motivated because of some incredible gifts already given that have allowed the leaders to believe that God is challenging us to 1.3. What does that mean? It means in part, for Good Shepherd, that instead of 1,200, we need 1,500 from Good Shepherd to go and pack meals for a couple of hours on the weekend of President's Day weekend. What better way can we spend our time that weekend than sharing life with someone who will then experience the light in the darkness of their world? So mark it on your calendars, and I'll see you there. A way to let that become a part of your compelling story for 2019. When I think about God's 2018 compelling stories here through Good Shepherd, I can't help but think about the Christmas canes, you know, the canes that were given so that we can take them on our mission trips to Honduras and Guatemala and places like that. Because the people we serve there, like people here, there are many who have mobility issues. The difference is that while we can go to a store and purchase a cane to help with our mobility, they can't. They either can't afford or they're not available. And so what they do is they break off tree branches or they find a broken broom and use that to support them. But by your generosity, you're providing light for that darkness. And thank you so much for letting that be part of your compelling story. Those gifts from the heart were an incredible part of our 2018 Good Shepherd compelling story. Thank you for the ways in which God worked in and through you, and God will work in you and through you in 2019 as we have opportunity for gifts from the heart in the future. As I think about our 2018 compelling stories and what 2019 might look like, I can't help but think about the local ministry opportunities that we have right here in our backyard. Ministries like Rebuilding Together Aurora, where so many members from Good Shepherd have gone over to Aurora to care for those who are living below the poverty line, many of them elderly, many of them disabled, many of them veterans, all of them who cannot afford the repairs needed to make their homes safer and more livable. And yet, Good Shepherd has, because of God's pursuit of us, seen the light and helped oh so many through this 2018 season once again. And God's light has shone in their lives. And there are so many transformational stories that have come from God's work. Or when I think about God's compelling 2018 story through Good Shepherd, I cannot help but think about the ways in which so many of you were involved in Hesed House this past year. And now we have yet another opportunity this coming week to be involved. Will 2019 be the year when you get involved in Hesed for the first time, caring for the homeless in our own community, people who live in the darkness of a world and have experienced God's light through that ministry? When I think about ministry opportunities in our own area, I think about what God has accomplished through Bridge Communities. So far, through the year 2018, God allowed Good Shepherd to support two families who were, they were single parents, single moms with children who were homeless. And because of the mentoring Bridge Communities ministry, they were coached and mentored. They were placed in temporary housing. They were cared for, and they learned life skills and job skills and interview skills and budgeting skills. And now two families have become independent with jobs to pay for their own housing and to care for their families. Because God inspired you by the light that God brought into your lives as God pursued you to care and mentor those families so they now can have their own place that they can pay for themselves. We just this week were brought another family, a third family, that will be part of our 2019 compelling story. And already, even this morning, some people have volunteered to be part of that ministry, which will make a difference in the 2019 compelling story. When I think about God's compelling story, I think about ministries like the Shine Ministry, in which Good Shepherd members go once a month, the fourth Sunday of the month, to the DuPage County Convalescent Center and care for people, many of those who have been forgotten by their families, many of those with memory issues, most of them with mobility issues. And the people escort them to a worship service and share the light of Jesus Christ. And from those experiences, oh, so many transformational stories have abounded. And I wonder, even as I think back with gratitude for all of those for whom 2018 allowed them to be part of that story, I wonder what new people might have that ministry as part of their 2019 compelling story. When I think about the 2018 compelling stories that are coming out of Good Shepherd, I cannot help but think about the way in which God has pursued us to be involved in the mental health initiative and what a difference that's making with those with mental health issues and addiction issues in our Naperville community. And we're seeing some incredible results through that ministry. Maybe some of you will allow that to be part of your 2019 compelling story, making a difference in an issue that is part of our community story. When I think about the 2018 Good Shepherd compelling story, I cannot help but think about the upward trend of so many of our ministries, like Vacation Bible School, that was record-setting in terms of those who participated and those who led this year, and the wonderful ways in which God is shining his light through those servant leaders and through those families. When I think about God's 2018 compelling stories, I cannot help but think about the global outreach to which God has pursued us and invited us and engaged us, and the work that's being done in so many fronts, like Africa, and for those children that were displaced from their school at Cheryl's home, and because of the generosity of Good Shepherd members who saw the light and felt pursued by God to respond, they now have temporary housing and schooling and plans for a more permanent site in place. And it's making a difference. And oh, the compelling stories coming out of those orphaned children's lives because of the way in which God has pursued you to make a difference. When I think of God's compelling stories, I cannot help but think about the Guatemala mission team and the fact that Sue Holford is there with a mission team right now, even as we engage in worship. And I wonder, when I think about that ministry, and I know that part of our Good Shepherd 2018 compelling story is the fact that this year, because of your generosity or God's inspired generosity through you, this year a learning center was completed by Above and Beyond Mission Funds, a learning center that was mostly funded by Good Shepherd, a learning center that was not only built but equipped and furnished by Good Shepherd so that little children can be engaged in seeing the light of Jesus Christ. And that community is being served. And because they were so inspired, not at our suggestion, but they were so inspired, they gave the name of the Learning Center, the Good Shepherd Learning Center. When I think about our 2018 compelling stories, I cannot help but think about the incredible ways in which Dr. Tim Wall worked and served in Honduras, and the lives transformed by the light of Christ that shone through him. Dr. Tim left our community to enter his heavenly home in 2018. But the work that he did in Honduras and that continues through CareLink, a ministry he established, purifying water for those who have no clean water, establishing microfinance projects so that people can establish their own business and become financially independent, the work that he's done and will continue because that ministry, what an incredible, compelling story. I wonder what members of Good Shepherd might be involved in that in 2019. When I think of God's compelling stories, I cannot help but think about the work that God has inspired through the work that goes on in Pine Ridge, the second most impoverished place in the Northern Hemisphere behind only Haiti, and the work that our Pine Ridge mission team has done bringing light to a very dark place within our own United States. When I think about God's compelling 2018 stories, I think about the work of Laura and Dave Schubert going again and again to Haiti. They're going again at the end of this month to a dental clinic that they established and that they serve at. And now they have trained and are training Haitian dentists to continue that ministry after they're no longer able to do so. Light in a very dark place, an incredible, compelling story. When I think of God's compelling stories that have happened here in 2018 and before, I cannot help but think and be reminded of the fact that it was in 2018 that the fifth member of Good Shepherd, Julie Righteous Peterson, became ordained as a pastor. That's the fifth person called and pursued by God from Good Shepherd to become an ordained pastor. When I think of God's compelling stories, I cannot help but think of John Dunsmore, who this year, in 2018, I should say, had it placed upon his heart to go and serve full-time in Honduras as a part of his ministry, a calling. He felt pursued by God. His 2018 compelling story, called by God to ministry in Honduras, will be an incredible part of his 2019 compelling story. When I think about these incredible 2018 compelling stories, I give thanks to God for the incredible way in which his light has continued to shine into the lives of our Good Shepherd family and the ways he's pursued us so that we, following that light, will pursue his purposes for our lives. Purposes that go way beyond resolutions. Purposes that go deep into our core values. Purposes that lead us to compelling stories. And I'm so excited. Even as I think back to those incredible things that God has done in 2018, for the things that God has in store for each and every one of you, the things that God will do in 2019, they'll be part of our Christmas cards next Christmas. They'll be part of our compelling stories that shine the light of Christ into the lives of others who've experienced darkness in their world. Will you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we thank you so much for Epiphany, this day, a day to celebrate your light, a day to celebrate those who followed your star, your light, and discovered the light of the world, and then listened to your word, being warned in a dream, returned home another way, and the ways in which you provided for that dream to become reality, to become not only a part of your compelling story for us, but your compelling story through us. Lord, this day, this Epiphany 2019, allow our 2018 compelling stories to give birth to incredible 2019 compelling stories. Let your light lead us to those stories. In your name we pray. Amen.